Hello, everybody. Welcome again to the Highfalutin Ski Bum Podcast. This is number 42, and it is your pals, Mario and Brian. What's going on, Mario?
Hi, y'all. That's what I got to say. Hi, y'all.
Hi, y'all. Yes, sir, friends and family. You can check us out on skibumpodcast.com. There, you will find links to find us on all these magical social media sites, like Facebook. Facebook.com/SkiBumPodcast, or perhaps Twitter, Twitter.com/SkiBumPodcast, even Instagram, Instagram.com/SkiBumPodcast.
And Stitcher.
And Stitcher, you can go and get us on iTunes, subscribe to us there, rate us, love us, please do that. So yeah, do that, hit us up, please, be one with us, love us.
Be one with the bums.
Be one.
But first...
You know how we always start this off.
It's that time.
We got some weekly flavor.
So weekly flavor this week. Brian, what do you got?
Well, we've spoken so much about beer over the last couple, not even weeks, months now. And we have kind of had to go in a different direction because we're getting a little beered out.
Overbeard.
Overbeard. Overburdened. Overbeard. So I'm sipping a delicious Knob Creek Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. Small batch. Aged 9 years. 100 proof.
Nice.
With a couple of rocks, and it is quite delicious.
You know what I'm going to have to break out one of these days? So one of the things my dad socked away that nobody ever knew until he passed was I have that Jim Beam 200th anniversary 1995 bottle of whiskey.
Really?
And it's sitting there, and I was like, I was just looking today, and I was like, that's like 21 years old in the bottle.
I mean, it doesn't really age in the bottle.
It's not age, but I'm like, that's pretty damn old.
That is pretty damn old, yeah.
95.
95.
Gonna have to crack that open one day. One day soon. I almost did it today, but I was like, I don't really feel like drinking that much.
Yeah, yeah. One of these days, though.
One of these days.
That's pretty awesome, though.
Yeah, yeah. So I went back to a classic. So this week, I was kind of beered out as well, and I was like, I got to start going back. I went to two different places and asked for this, and they didn't have it. So I'm rebounding with my wanting to have it, and I'm back to the Moscow Mule.
Where, pray tell, didn't they have Moscow Mules?
We'll talk about that in today's podcast.
Is that a teaser?
That is.
Teaser.
So today we're going to talk about a place that we visited. Brian visited a few years ago. I just visited this weekend. And we're going to talk about this place that we'll mention a little bit later.
Oh.
But first.
Stay tuned.
It's time for... We got a little ski news coming at you.
Oh, do we ever.
Oh, yeah.
Where's your Mario's playing his jug here, you know?
I know,
it's fantastic. Well, it's actually pretty appropriate music for our first story. Now, we've been talking a lot about Jackson Hole since we're going to be going there in a couple of weeks now, about a month. So, this past week, a skier lost a loaded handgun at Jackson Hole Mountain Resort and found it at the Lost and Found.
That's awesome.
A loaded 9mm handgun. So, I guess he crashed. And in the crash, didn't realize that the gun fell out of his shoulder holster.
That happens frequently. I mean, you know.
And two off-duty resort employees found the weapon on the Dix Ditch Run and brought it back to the Lost and Found, where it was eventually picked up.
So is that classified as part of his safety equipment?
I guess so.
Right? You never know when something's going to jump out. A lynx, a bear... Yeti, right?
Bobcat, mountain lion, yeah. ISIS, you never know.
You
have to be prepared.
Shit's gonna go down, you gotta be prepared.
And I guess being East Coast skiers, we're, you know, like, oh my god, someone had a gun on the mountain? But you're in Wyoming. I mean, Wyoming gun laws are very different than what we have in the,
We get stuck on the lift, you got the coyotes come out like that movie.
when they were stuck in the chairlift at night, yeah. And the whole resort shut down.
That's so stupid. It was good. It wasn't stupid. The stupid part was that it was in, like, Massachusetts.
Yeah, that's not so scary.
I was like, I think that's a little, I don't know.
Couldn't you, like, order pizza there and some guy will actually be able to bring you a pizza and be like, hey, man, do you want to come down too?
That's right.
It's like, that would be super, pizza delivery guy. Can you help me out with that?
Can you hook me up?
It depends on my tip.
That's right. Oh, you know how big of a tip you can get.
You really got to hook somebody up for helping you off of a ski lift.
Damn.
But yeah, Jackson Hole, people losing guns. It's a beautiful thing. No one got hurt. They got their gun back. And everyone carried on with their wonderful day.
You don't hear of any frequent shootouts there, so that's kind of good.
Mono Skiapalooza was not ruined.
That's right.
It was a good day.
Mono Skiapalooza.
Good day at Jackson Hole.
day.
All right.
And then this was, you like this one.
So the next one, we saw this video. This was posted on snowbrains.com, and it was a mini video. I don't know if it's for a long, like a teaser for a longer movie, but this was about this island that's in the middle of the Sea of Japan between South Korea and Japan named Ulaengdu. And I'm probably slaughtering that name, and I'm very sorry. And if you guys want to write in and correct me, skibumpodcast.com, please do that so I know.
That looks kind of correct.
It looks correct, right? So Ulaengdu, and it's this small little island, about a four-hour boat ride from South Korea that has, I mean, it says very few people have ever gone to it, even less have skied it. The native population only has 4 local skiers.
Wow.
And the terrain looks amazing. And in the description, it talks about, it says, based on the location, it gets hammered with the snow that Japan's mountains are known for collecting. However, here, the storms are much more raw in power. They are known for receiving 1 to 2 meters of snow within a 24-hour average storm cycle period. The island is known for collecting over 50 feet of snow during a standard year.
Damn.
But it takes a 4-hour, like, choppy boat ride just to get there.
Worth it.
The video footage is gorgeous. I mean, the terrain, it looks like,
or
just
a helicopter,
like,
ride.
Helicopter ride. Boom. Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
I'm sure it's like a 15-minute helicopter ride.
Probably set up some sort of helicopter service if it doesn't exist yet.
Just lower you down on a rope and that's it. You're skiing.
Yeah. But this footage is pretty dynamite. It looks beautiful. You know, this, the kind of footage that you see when you see videos of Japan, it's very similar to that.
Japan.
And, they get pounded upon, and no one seems to be skiing there. So,
very interesting.
And a great little place to have on, if you have a nice bucket list of crazy exotic places to ski, this should definitely be on there. Ulaengdo.
Ulaengdo.
Get there.
All right, next we got, this is big in the news, a snowboarder ends up owing a skier $800,000 after a crash.
Oh.
So in January 2015, so last season,
Last season.
January 2015.
Yeah.
So I guess a skier and snowboarder had an accident, and as it winds up, the skier was the downhill person, and according to the CSSA, which is the Colorado Ski Safety Act, they had the right of way, and the dude on that person was skiing, and then the person on the snowboard jumped from a catwalk and crashed into them, subsequently fracturing the person's tibia, fibula, humerus, and ankle. Now, that's a lot of shit.
Awful.
They must have really plowed into her.
Well, the skier was from Florida.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know what exactly that means, but there's definitely has something to do with the damage.
Dude, either way, those are big bones. The tibia is like your biggest bone. The humerus is
The femur is the biggest one.
The femur, okay.
In your upper leg.
Tibia is pretty big, though.
It's not something you want someone to land on.
Humerus I fractured when I was in Cortina. That was a little fracture. That wasn't too bad, but it depends how bad. I don't know. That's a lot of bones to really wreck.
But that's just like a douchebag move, like just some asshole just launching off of a catwalk and just hitting somebody.
Yeah, and in the story, I guess the snowboarder was the guy that jumped into the skier, and the boarder was saying that he didn't get a lawyer.
And that's where it ran into trouble.
Are you serious? So. He's saying she was standing at the bottom of the hill. I was coming off of the top of it, and it was a blind landing, and she was standing where she shouldn't be. Okay, dude, well, you still got to be careful, like, because there's... What if it's a little kid? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
And it wasn't a terrain park area. It was just a regular blue run, right?
Yeah.
I think that's what it was saying. Yeah, you know what? I mean, how many times have we been on a lift? I mean, I think just not this past weekend, 2 weekends ago, we were on a chairlift. And there was a little bit of under, you know, right where the pole was for the lift, there was a little kind of groove in there, and people were dropping in and kind of launching back out onto the trail. And we saw two people taking that lift a couple times, two people launching off of snowboards and almost crashing into somebody.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, do that shit in the terrain park. You know, that's what it's set up for. You know, people just kind of cruising along. And if you're not...
Or just be careful. You're surrounded. I mean, you got to look. You can't just do a blind landing.
Well, when you got freaking giant noise-canceling headphones on, your dark goggles, you can only see partway because you're snowboarding and you can only see in front of you. And you just kind of launch off something. You're not paying attention.
Yeah.
You know? It sucks.
But anytime, especially if it's a blind land... I mean, literally, blind landing, you gotta have a little more sense about you. I mean, it's just... I don't know. This is stupid.
Yeah, it's a dick move.
It was a dick move, and that's why they actually are... He lost a lawsuit anyway. I think even if he had a lawyer, he probably would have lost. And maybe not had to pay $800,000. That's where a lawyer would have come.
Bless you. Thank you.
But,
he was double stupid. Stupid for doing what he did, and then stupider for not getting a lawyer.
Oh, and I think it's serious. I just got subpoenaed to go to... I got to go to court. Like, really? You don't get a lawyer then?
That they were joking, man.
Anyway, so...
Yeah, that was it's a pretty messed up story.
As Fred Sanford would say, big dummy.
Yeah.
The big dummy.
Yeah, I guess that went through, and that's actually the fine, right?
Yeah, that's a settlement. That's
the settlement, yeah, officially.
So I'm sure he's going to get a lawyer now and appeal it and whatever.
Oof.
He basically said in the article, too, he's like, I'm not a millionaire, meaning I'm not going to pay it. I don't have or plan to have any money, so
yeah,
whatever.
Now, how did they come up with $800,000? Is that just medical bills, or
they're saying the lady can't walk right now?
Yeah.
So it must.
But
have been
again, she
bad.
Was from Florida to begin with.
Hey, I don't know, man. No idea.
You know, she could have been bitten by an alligator the year before.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You just never know.
Good old Florida. Yeah, so that's pretty fucked up. So if you're gonna be doing jumps or any sort of nonsense, be careful. Don't make sure no one's in the way, no one's in the landing area, keep it in the terrain park, and
if that's a kid,
you won't land on somebody.
You might kill the kid, is all I'm saying.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, definitely. Ugh, not a fun, happy story.
Mm. Alright, what else you got?
So next up, this was just announced this past week. And last week we were talking about weather apps, and you know, a lot of the weather apps that we have also have social aspects to it these days. So just recently, it was last month, it looks like, there's a new app that's out that works with the Apple Watch.
Oh,
and it's called Ski Links, and it's the best new ski app for keeping track of your crew on the hill. So one of the ones we mentioned was like Snow Crew. That's one of the apps that you can use.
So this is the best new app. They're saying they got it right.
They are saying it. So... what it is if you're using the app, it's a GPS-enabled software that will link up with the resort's trail map, and you can see exactly where you and your friends are in real time on the mountain. It even tells you what percentage of the run your friends have completed.
Hopefully it tells you what percentage of battery you got left, because that shit's going to
eat
your battery.
Yep. You can also send preset messages indicating meetup points with one tap of the button. And, of course, the app, which works on iPhones and Apple Watches for now, also tracks your day on the hill, total miles skied, total runs, and offers lift status and weather updates.
Seems so, pretty good. I like the one-touch, like, preloaded message, because then you don't have to fumble with, like, trying to do a message.
Yeah, it's pretty cool how it'll overlay your, you know, like, the trail map, the resort map, with your friends' locations and see exactly where they are.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
See, the thing is, like, I like to see a lot of these apps are trying to solve the problem which Apple still hasn't addressed, and it's making the voice to text and the voice activated like commands more accessible, which they haven't addressed that. So a lot of the apps are trying to put that together.
Yeah. And the cool thing about this versus like Snow Crew is that Snow Crew kind of just tells you everybody on the mountain. Ski Links allows you to filter it so it's just people that you know, which is neat. And right now it only works on California resorts, but they're looking to, do it for the Rockies
later this year,
and then expand eventually to North America, Europe, and Japan.
You know what does tracking on all maps in the entire world?
What's that?
Fat maps.
Fat maps.
Boom.
They certainly do.
And since we did our last podcast, they've come out with a trillion, billion new resort maps. Did you see
how many was that?
It was a trillion.
A trillion, billion.
A veritable shitload of maps.
Yeah.
A plethora.
A plethora. A cornucopia?
A cornucopia, a ski cornucopia.
Ooh.
Of maps. So, yeah, I haven't looked at... I tried downloading a new one, but of course I ran out of space on this stupid tiny baby phone that I have.
You have, like... So you have, like, the giant iPhone.
It's
know?
The TV-sized iPhone, yeah.
The giant iPhone with, like, the least amount of storage.
Yeah, it's like a... I think I would consider this the Apple TV.
It's like getting a Dodge Viper and getting, like, a 3-gallon gas tank.
I don't make the rules.
You hit the gas like one time and you're out of gas already.
But they do have Jackson Hole.
Oh. Does it have, can you locate which people have loaded pistols on the mountain?
No, they don't have that.
That would be a really cool overlay to have and see how many weapons are on the mountain at this very moment.
How many are on the map?
How many people are packing heat on the mountain?
Packing the heat.
Packing heat.
Packing heat.
All right. So I think we had... Wasn't there one more snow story?
I'm downloading Jackson Hole right now. Boom.
I think you better. There was one other ski story that is not on our beautiful outline, but we were talking about it before the show started that we really want to share with you. So apparently, just this...
Are you not going to talk about the Boot Funk?
We're not talking about Boot Funk. We're moving on. This is topical. This came out yesterday.
There's topical for Boot Funk, too.
Boot Funk is always topical, so we'll move that to a different day. But this happened just yesterday in Aspen. So a gentleman was on a chairlift. A snowboarding gentleman was on a chairlift with a skiing gentleman. There was a conversation, and... said ski gentleman apparently pushed snowboard gentleman off of the lift, and he fell 20 to 25 feet.
That sounds like a damn beatdown to me.
Into a pile of snow. Damn. Dude, how messed up is that?
The funniest part, though, is like we were reading the article, and the guy was like, well, I didn't want to lose the rest of the powder today, so he didn't think anything
about it. So how it starts out is they were on the lift, they were making some comments, and I guess the one guy, the ski guy, got kind of pissed off and pushed this guy off the lift, and it was about 9:30 in the morning when it all went down. And this snowboarder, he didn't tell anybody at the mountain until it was like the end of the day.
That
so they really
crazy.
Had no chance of finding it. They didn't tell Ski Patrol until the end of the day, and they had no chance of really finding the guy because at that point, he could have been gone. He could have burned his jacket and bought a different one. But they were saying he was a human skier.
Hey, that's
who tosses people from chairlifts, was wearing a 1/3 burgundy, 2/3 tan jacket with gray pants, an old silver Giro helmet with old Smith Sensor mirror goggles.
Wow, that's really narrowing it down for everybody. Thanks.
Well, you know, that jacket's pretty unique. And if this guy would have mentioned that a lot earlier in the day, they probably had a halfway decent shot at finding him.
Yeah, they're not finding that dude.
Yeah, that guy's burning his jacket. And the guy had, you know, goggles and a helmet and a face mask on, so they really couldn't identify
him.
It's
like the Knight Rider of, like, pushers.
Yeah.
That's like a championship pusher right there.
Yeah. So, pretty messed up. Yeah, the guy fell 20 to 25 feet. Landed in like a big snow pile, kind of was like, oh, what the hell just happened? And like Mario was saying, he didn't report it because he didn't want to ruin his powder day. You know, he's like, I'm gonna have a good day, and then I'll go report it afterwards.
That's what I'm like. I guess he wasn't hurt that bad because mm-hmm. he didn't waste the powder day.
Yeah, and the conversation was like pretty stupid. I guess, you know, he made the comment, the snowboarder made the comment to the skier, to get tits deep pow shots, you just need to be on your edges. And then the guy's like, are you making fun of me? The
guy's like, are you talking to me?
The guy's like,
are you fucking talking to me?
Not really, but maybe. He goes, if you think that's funny, do you think this is funny? And then he proceeded to push the guy off the chairlift.
It's like, what is wrong with people?
That's pretty fucked up.
That is pretty fucked up.
Well, you got to have something really wrong with you. And then the snowboarder dude who got pushed off is like, yeah, he might have been like all drugged out or something. They better not try to freaking blame this on legalized weed because... They may try to pull that shit. They always want to do that.
I think they're going
to
do it. Yeah. Why did they mention it in the article? I'm just saying.
It was Colorado.
It's a damn conspiracy.
Yeah.
I was looking at a book today of conspiracies. It was a little bookazine.
Oh, boy.
I was like, they have, like, there's a conspiracy about everything in the damn world. It's funny.
Well, a conspiracy, by definition, is multiple people coming together to do something.
Is it at least three? Like, what is the... It's got to be. There's like a set thing of like conspiracy, right?
Yeah, there is.
A set definition, at least like a more than two, like, I don't know.
Because technically you plan anything into conspiracy.
You got
to
get that
you
third
conspire
person,
to
though.
Do something.
So you got to get a third. Like you and I, we're just two people. We
when
plan
Steve
a lot
was here,
stuff.
we were conspiring to do a podcast.
Exactly. That's a different. It must be like a worse federal charge or something if you get caught doing something bad.
Hey guys, I'm going to come back soon. We can conspire to do another podcast.
All right, Steve. Thanks. We're looking forward to that. Anytime.
Anytime, my man.
Anytime. Good stuff.
Anytime you want to put on your big boy pants and get back on the radio.
That's right.
All right.
So that's going to wrap up our ski news for the week.
That's our ski news.
Yeah.
And next up we have...
Ooh, what's that?
That's new music for our topic, which is Tremblant, eh? Liking that.
I like that. It's smooth.
For Voulez-vous à Tremblant, eh?
Tremblant. So, Mario, you and another one of our pals were just in Tremblant this past weekend. Am I correct?
Yes, we were. It was a lot of fun.
How was it?
So we broke up the trip. We hit Montreal for a day, and then we went up to Tremblant. So Montreal, Tremblant, it's only about an hour and a half. Also depends on how much snow you're getting at the time in traffic.
Yep.
Which we found coming back. But I tell you what, drove up there, and it was really, for us, it wasn't that far of a trip, and it wasn't... It was pretty good conditions, you know.
So this is your first time at Tremblant, right? And did you stay right there in the village?
So we stayed at a hotel at like the entrance of the village. And if anybody's been to Tremblant or if you haven't, you can see on the map. Tremblant has, there's a, I guess it's like a pedestrian gondola that goes from the beginning of pedestrian of the village to where the main area with the list. And it's maybe a 5-minute gondola.
It's like a cabriolet thing?
Yeah, it's like an open cabrio gondola thing. And you just get in it, it just moves you rather than walk. It's probably, if you have a really far walk after parking at most ski areas and walk, it's probably about the same distance, but it's a little bit uphill. So that's why they have that cabrio. So it was pretty cool. It was convenient. It was almost, if you consider that almost ski in, ski out, it really was. Got a great deal on the hotel, but yeah, I mean the village is really pretty solid. So we stayed there. Where did you stay when you went?
When we stayed at the fancy Fairmont, right Ooh. There at the bottom yeah. of the right at the village. If you were looking down the southern face of the mountain, it was the one all the way to the right.
Hmm. But you're staying with your lady, so that you're trying to be a baller. You're trying to impress.
Who's trying to be a baller? That's what we do, baby. All highfalutin-like. And I am a member of the Fairmont Ambassadors Club, so
Ooh.
Or President's Club, whatever the hell they call it. And I feel like that those are the kind of hotels that are to my standards. So I prefer to stay at Fairmont's.
So it's a BAF status, baller as fuck status?
Pretty much, yeah.
Boom.
Also, too, it was April, so they had lots of good deals going on.
No
so
snow. Oh, you had snow.
They had plenty of snow. The first day was great. Again, this was about 4 years ago. Snow was great the first day, and then it started getting warmer and warmer and getting mashed potato-y pretty quickly. But the first day was great, and it is a cool mountain, and we just really, you know, like, we wanted to go and check out the village and check out the whole experience because that's a big part of the whole Tremblant experience is hanging out in the village and walking around and checking out the bars and restaurants there. It's fun. I've heard people kind of talking shit. They're like, oh, it's like Disneyland on the mountain.
Nah,
I wouldn't call it that. Yeah. It's I mean, it's not super hardcore, but it's a cool, fun, like really nice place. And it's one of those places like if you did have crappy weather and like maybe the snow wasn't that great, there's tons of other stuff you could do.
Yeah.
Around town and just walking, not having to drive anywhere or do anything else, which is really cool.
When we went, you could freeze your nuts off because it was like 8 degrees, literally with wind and fog. So going in the wintertime, expect to be cold. So I actually got to check out like all my gear, like designed for being really cold, and it actually worked out pretty good. So I was like playing around with new things this week and, got a little formula dialed in for when it's really cold, what to wear when it's not so cold. So it was kind of a good experience, but, I tell you what, it was you know, middle of the day when it's like 13 degrees, that's pretty rough, pretty brutal, especially there's a little wind. Now, just to talk about the mountain, so that's where we stayed in proximity to the main lift. So you get there, you get to the main area on the what they consider the south side of the mountain, and there's basically one big gondola that takes most, you know, I think it's like a 6 or 8 person gondola, and then there's another lift next to that.
The Télécabine Express.
Yes, and so everybody really takes the gondola because that takes you right up to the top. It's the easiest to get on. Only problem with that is be careful on a Saturday. Saturday, a lot of people that ski there a lot say they don't actually ski on Saturday because the line is too massive. So after about a wait, 1 hour wait, we got on the mountain on that was waiting for the gondola for an hour in the morning at around, I think we started around 9, and I didn't realize. I think the regular people can get in, you know, with your regular lift ticket, you get in at 9, but people actually pay for a first tracks lift ticket. It's just an add-on to your lift, just a few bucks more, like $11 or something like that, and that allows you to get on early, I think 7:30, 7:45, whatever, and some of the lodges open earlier, but that's why people do that, so they can take that gondola, at least get up on top of the mountain, and then you can ski the backside or some of the other lifts throughout the day.
So would you recommend if someone's going up there that they should get that express first tracks?
Definitely get the first tracks. Definitely get up early. Make sure you do that. And especially for your Saturday. Sunday, the line was about a half hour. And a lot of people were saying there's a lot less people showing up to the mountain because the snow hasn't been that good.
Mm.
So that's not even like peak of what they've seen. So yeah. I can only imagine like an hour and a half, 2 hour wait for the gondola, the first gondola up.
Ugh.
One of the guys we were talking to on the lift, he actually said they drove up, I think, from Montreal, and they saw it was packed parking at the south side. So instead of, you know, parking there and taking the gondola, they just drove around to the north side, and they took the lifts from there, which weren't as bad.
Oh, wow. That's a pretty decent drive, though, right?
Yeah, he said it's...
Because it's not like a direct route. You got to go back onto, like, the main road.
You're going around the mountain. It's basically one big mountain. You're going around it, so... Yeah.
It's probably at least 40 minutes, I would think.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's pretty straightforward when you look at the map. It's basically north side, south side. It's not like where, like Killington, I'm used to, like, you got, like, three mountains and you're in the valley of those mountains around you, whereas this is, it's one mountain, you're doing the front side, back side.
Right.
The south side
is... more like Mount Snow in that regard.
Yeah, and the front side is, like, the cold side. So you get there, which is odd because the village is right there. You figure that's the better side. It's cold, foggy. You get a lot more weather conditions there. And then you go to the backside, they get a little bit more sun. It's blocked from the wind a little bit. So you don't get as much wind. You don't get as much fog and things like that. So that was pretty cool. But, and in terms of terrain, we skied a shit ton of trees.
That's awesome.
It was really cool. They have that one area, the edge, which is just trees on both sides. They have, you know, diamond trees and then blue trees. So the blue trees you rip through, the diamond trees and double diamond trees off the top, you could do those. There's a lot of fun. On the left side of the mountain, there's tunnel or whatever they call it. That's pretty cool. That's another big tree run. And that is pretty big. So you can actually, you go when you start, you go to the right side or left side. So there's a lot of skiable terrain there. So it was good. I would say, you know, you ski the mountain out, probably if you did 4 solid days, you probably ski the whole mountain out in good conditions. But a lot of it was fun, you know, so it really depends on what you get. It was pretty icy when we were there because they haven't gotten a ton of snow. So, but usually they get a lot of snow. So that's what they say. Expect cold, powdery snow usually. This year it's just been a little crappy with the weather, but it's so cold up there, they're open.
Yeah, and for all you history buffs, the mountain itself and the lodge began operation of its first chairlift in 1939.
Wow.
By Joseph Bondurant Ryan.
Bondurant.
Bondurant. Or Bondurant.
Bondurant.
Yeah.
So some of the interesting stuff they have around town, they got a lot of nice restaurants. Town's small enough that you can walk all over. Opry ski, you get off the mountain, you're right there. They have a casino, which I didn't go to. I heard it was a little But it's a casino nonetheless.
It's
right
no
there.
Sands in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, that's for sure.
Exactly. And they do have a brewery, which I think is relatively new. And it's right in the middle of the village, which the village is really, it's pretty spread out, but there's really one main street that you go up back and forth on. And right in the middle of that, there's a bunch of clubs and bars, like dance clubs and bars people hang out in. And right there is where they put the brewery. They make their own beer, and they actually had some decent beer, which we hung out and partook in. But yeah, restaurants, there's a bunch of different restaurants. Maybe not the most fanciest food in the world, but they had some good solid options.
Plenty of poutine.
Plenty of poutine. If you want, you know, fries with a lot of stuff on it. but they had ice skating there, which I didn't do, but a lot of people were doing at night. So it was kind of cool to see a little bit of different what people do. I mean, there's so much into the cold weather activities. Like people were talking, they're like, "Hey, you want to go ice skating?" I'm like, "Wow, that's pretty cool." People don't say that around here because that's usually not a big option.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just looking at a picture right now. It's you know, from one of the runs looking down into the village, and it's all snow-covered. And it is. It's beautiful. It's really a breathtaking
I got to say, the place. Whole village is not – there's nothing run down. It looks like it's all brand new. It's very well kept. Everything's very clean, well taken care of. So it's very picturesque like that.
Yeah. One of my most distinct memories I had of when I skied Tremblant. So we were there again. It was early April. Hockey playoffs were just starting. You know, obviously everyone's nuts for hockey up there, especially when the Canadians are playing. But I was in the gondola. And Andrea had taken a little break. Her foot was bothering her. So I went up by myself and was going to do a run down. And it was me and like five native Quebecers or Quebecians, whatever the preferred nomenclature is. So I'm in there and they're speaking in French to each other. And I don't speak French. They're doing their thing, talking. Probably about 90% of the way to the top. And at the very end, the guy goes to me, "Hey," he goes, "Français." And I'm like, "No, sorry, man." He's got a can of Diet Coke. He goes, "Fucking beer, man." I'm like, "Okay." we got another minute on this lift here together.
Yeah, it's a little uncomfortable.
I really want to leave now. Yeah, it was funny. It was weird. It was stupid, but
that's
it was
funny.
My memory of Tremblant.
Wow. Well, when we were in Montreal, they had Montreal was playing at home against, I think it was
Blackhawks, yeah.
Blackhawks. And it was funny because we get into town and we got in around, you know, midday and just wanted to get something to eat, walk around town a little. It was cold as anything there. And like we stopped in a few bar to eat, another restaurant to eat. And everybody everywhere we went was like, "Oh, you guys here for the game?" I'm like, "No." Like, I had no idea where the stadium was. I didn't realize it's right there in Montreal.
Yeah,
like,
it's downtown.
Because most stadiums are, like, you know, generally, like, offset a little bit. You know, hockey, I guess more of them are downtown.
The smaller arenas, yeah.
Yeah, but so they were all asking us. I was like, I guess this shit is, like, really big. So,
oh, they're so hardcore about it. It's pretty cool.
So we ate dinner, walking around, hanging out a few places. And then after that hockey game let out, there's tons of people everywhere. Like all, you know, a lot of people with the Blackhawks stuff on and a lot of people
really?
With the, yeah, because I guess a lot of people made the trip with the Montreal stuff. So it was pretty neat. I mean, Montreal's a nice town.
Yeah, it's even better when it's warmer, but it's a good food town too.
Yeah. Went to a nice gastro pub. It was NYKS, I think was the name of it. Really good food.
Yeah, when we were there, like I said, it was a little bit later, so it was like April-ish. So, you know, things were thawing out, and we went to Au Pied de Cochon, one of the famous, you know, famous restaurant.
Bourdain, right?
Anthony Bourdain's been there. Yeah, it's pretty dynamite. And it was one of those things, like, you look at the menu, and you know most menus you'll have, like, beef and salads and chicken kind of thing. This one had a whole foie gras section.
Wow.
Like an entire section. And I had some, and it was some of the most dynamite just eating I've ever had in my life. You could order a whole pig's head.
Nice.
And it would come out on a platter.
Stuffed with foie gras?
I guess. They just shove foie. They actually had foie gras stuffed crust pizza.
Wow.
No, they didn't. But if any place in the world would have it, it would be this place.
How about a foie gras stuffed duck?
Oh.
That's just cruel.
It is cruel, right?
That's just cruel. That ain't right.
That's like some like human centipede kind of stuff right there.
Yeah, that's just crazy.
Yeah, that and then, yeah, we did the same thing, like Montreal and Tremblant. And one of the things I had to see when I was there is I had to see the Expos Stadium, Olympic Stadium from the 1976 Olympic Summer Games. And it is just so crazy. You're just driving on this kind of, you know, like main road through the city. And then you just see this almost like alien spaceship just landed.
Wow.
Right there. It's you know, it's almost 40 years old, but it still looks futuristic and crazy and not of this world.
That's pretty cool.
It's really cool, yeah. It's dynamite. It's definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, I guess we had a good time. And right now, going up to Canada as a U.S. citizen, the dollar is so strong.
Making it rain up in Canada.
I mean, you know, for a $10 lap dance, I was really only paying $6. I mean, that's not bad.
You must feel bad for the ladies there, right? Like you're just ripping them off.
Just saying. Yeah, I was like, this just doesn't seem fair. It was like a 3-for-2 deal, you know? but yeah, I mean, the dollar I was getting, I looked at my my credit card because I have one of those, you know, international cards where they give you the rate, don't charge any fees. And they were giving me the exchange that I looked at was about, it was a little bit over $1.30 to $1.
Wow, that's really good.
So I was basically getting 30% off on anything I bought. I bought a Healy Hansen shirt. It was a hoodie in Tremblant when we were there. And usually everything's overpriced. This was 50% off their normal price. And then it's basically take another 30% off of that because of the dollar exchange. And I was like, holy crap, I'm losing money if I don't get it.
Yeah, seriously.
So I did a little shopping, just bought a few things, cost my sticker helmet, my backpack patch, you know, I always get those, but yeah, it was pretty good time.
Very cool.
People were friendly, I didn't think anybody was rude. I noticed one thing, so we're sitting in a bar, and my buddy's like, you know, trying to talk to the bartender, because she's hot, and of course nobody hits on the bartender, right? So, especially a hot one.
First time I've heard of that, yeah.
So, and it was a regular bar, it wasn't, you know, wasn't a place for gentlemen. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to talk to her, and she's not holding a conversation. She's just kind of like passing by. And he's like, oh, man, I guess this is what they mean by being rude. I'm like, dude, I don't really think she understands that much. I don't think she knows that much English. So you got to understand, like, she, you know, because she didn't seem unfriendly. She just didn't seem like she was able to hold a conversation, you know, a long conversation with you.
Yeah.
And she was pretty busy, too. And my friend, I think he just thought, you know, like, people aren't into me. What's the matter? And I was like, dude, this happens.
Yeah, I know.
But I didn't think anybody was unfriendly, right? There, you know. Yeah. Everybody, like a lot of people, they spoke English, you know. So, like, I was very surprised. It was cool.
Yeah, I think the majority of people do speak both English and French up there. I think almost you just have to.
Well, that's also Montreal. I heard Quebec's a little more French.
The further north you go,
yeah,
the less they want to speak English.
That's what I heard. So yeah. I haven't been to Quebec, and I haven't seen the unfriendliest at Montreal or Tremblant. So I was very happy with that. So that was pretty interesting.
Yeah. Cool. So it sounds like an awesome time. We will post some of these tips and links and stuff if you want to check it out. You can find those at SkiBumPodcast.com. And if you have any other tips or things we want to add to our list, please send us an email and let us know. SkiBumPodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah. Tremblant.
That's right, friends. Around the horn. It's time.
Yeah, time for around the horn. All right. So, starting right out of the gate, we got my boy Antonio Cromartie pays an unbelievable, incredible amount in child support. Now, this came out because this last week he had a vasectomy, and I guess after the vasectomy, he found out he's the father of twins. So I don't know what the deal with that is, if he's just got magic sperm that is immune to a vasectomy, or if he planted a seed and then was like, I just got to go because I know I just got my wife pregnant again. So
I think he has his unstoppable loads.
He does. He's. I think they should have like a study on him. He's like, everybody's like, you know, having problems with fertility. He cannot stop being fertile.
No.
So, but the funniest part of this article, and Brian dug this up, is the incredible ton of money he pays in child support. So if anybody doesn't know, he has like, I think, 7 or 8 kids now.
He's got at least 8, yeah.
And if anybody's seen, I just remember from watching
Hard Knocks, right?
Hard Knocks. And they were asking him, oh, how many kids do you have? And he's trying to name them. And there's one point where he names like 3 kids at age 5, and he can't really remember all the kids' names. So I'm like, that must have been one hell of a year, you know?
Yeah, right.
But I tell you, it's his child support payments, they say, are up to $336,000 per year. I'm like, $3,500 per child per month. So he's taking care of his kids, but that's just a lot of money.
That is a lot of goddamn money.
Having babies is expensive, man.
Yeah.
But somebody told me that they actually know people that work with the Jets, and they said when he actually first got signed, he was actually staying in like a motel. Wasn't saying anything fancy. It's like the dude's got responsibilities, and you know, he's doing what he has to do. I gotta say, he's a stand-up dude.
Yeah, he's following through on what he's got to do. Yeah, which is a good thing.
It's just incredible. I'm like, wow, it adds up, you know. So all I gotta say, when he's on the flip side of it, and they're all like, you know, all playing pro football,
that's when he cashes in. Yeah,
they gonna take care. They got to take care of him.
Hopefully they take care of Pop. Yeah.
So he just signed. I guess that's the other thing, is he just signed a 4-year, $32 million deal. So that's going to keep everybody taken care of well.
For a little while, at least.
For at least another 4 years.
Yeah, that's true.
Oof.
Yikes. Crazy payments.
Yeah.
All right, next up. So, you know, everyone's still kind of coming down from Star Wars fever from, the new movie, The Force Awakens, coming out. But today there was an announcement. Yes, Star Wars fans, this is a sad one. So originally, the next Star Wars movie was supposed to come out in May of 2017. It has now been pushed back to December 15th, 2017.
You got
to
wait another few months?
7 extra months now.
Got to be out of your mind, George Lucas. I can't wait.
Yeah, instead they're going to put in Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales, to open on May 26th, 2017.
We should make our own ghetto version and then put it on the internet so that people have something to watch. It'll be the ski bum version of the next Star Wars.
What was that movie with Jack Black and Mos Def?
Oh,
Be Kind, Rewind, or Be Kind, Please Rewind.
Yeah, Be Kind, Rewind.
And like they messed up all their movies. Like a video store, and they messed up all their movies. So they started like calling them. They got like Swedish versions. They called it. They had to Swede the movies, and they made their own.
They
versions
made their
of those movies.
Own
yeah.
version of every movie. Yeah. It was awesome.
That was pretty funny.
And they're like taping it, so we could do our own version like that.
Exactly. We can ski bum them.
That'd be great.
Ski bum these movies.
Oh, we could make a version that includes skiing and boarding in every one.
Dude.
And Snowblades.
Kind of like Apocalypse Snow.
Darth Vader, is he on Snowblades? Is he on one of those sit-down?
I picture Darth Vader on a snowboard.
Well, technically, he's a handicapped dude. Maybe he's in one of those, you know, sit-down ones.
Like the mono... Not the monoski. What do they call it? The... I know what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah, like we're coming...
The sleds almost? Yeah, the...
Yeah. Or maybe he's a monoski dude. He looks a little evil, monoski.
Yeah, I could see him monoskiing, doing his own thing.
Yeah.
Because you think about, like, the TIE Fighters. They all, like, look the same, but he had the special, like, Darth Vader TIE Fighter. That's kind of like the monoski.
I could see him be a boarder, too.
Yeah.
As stormtroopers, skiers. I'm just thinking precision. They're ready to kick some ass.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think they almost need, like, an Apocalypse Snow Star Wars.
Oh, like almost, that's what we could film.
We'll almost take, like, the Hoth scene in Empire... And, like, just make a whole, like, fan fiction whole story of, like, the Hoth trooper.
Yeah.
Because they had those crazy, like, snow troopers who were, like, the special, like, snow stormtroopers with those weird, like, KKK masks they had. They had, like, these, like, almost like a, without the pointy top, it was, like, a long kind of mask on there.
Yeah, it was, like, a weird, like, mumps-looking thing on their
like
face.
Like a snow shield almost, yeah.
Yeah.
Like a bandana kind of thing.
Well, like I said, I want to, because like when you go to Europe, you see everybody dressed up as stuff. So one of the things I was saying to Brian is like, we should dress up as like all stormtroopers and one Darth Vader and just like ski down. That'd be awesome.
That would be cool, yeah.
And the best part is like you go up the mountain normal and then you change in, like, you know, at the top in the woods, and then you go down as, like, people are like, where the hell do those guys come from?
You know, it'd be funny, too, if you had Darth Vader, like, have Darth Vader crash and leave his lightsaber somewhere in the snow. Like, someone, you know, perhaps using a 9mm pistol in the snow. Someone finds a lightsaber, like, oh, my God.
So when we go to Jackson.
Jackson, as I like to call it.
Jackson. When we go to Jackson Hole, do we get fake guns and just leave them in the snow everywhere? Just keep throwing them around?
That's funny.
Just toy guns and just throw them everywhere.
That's a great idea, yeah.
People are like, I think I saw a gun over there. I saw another one over there.
Fucking Jersey's here.
That'd be great. People are like, what the hell am I finding over
here?
There's
so many guns.
There's guns everywhere. There's like a pile of guns.
So Star Wars is not happening until next December. Mm. But they are starting to They're starting to film the movie next month in London, so that's on track.
So it's not because they're running behind, they just want to release it for Christmas.
I don't know exactly.
They want to make sure they have the Brinks truck to carry all the cash at Christmas time. Is what it really
They can put out like three different versions onto DVD and streaming in that time, extra 7 months.
Exactly. Well, I guess the other thing, too, is as a movie house, you don't want to crush your other films. So they have Pirates of the Caribbean is going to be ready. So they're probably like, well, we'll just give you some more months to make maybe a better movie. How about that?
I think part of it, too, is they just saw how great it did in that holiday season. And they can just...
And I have some problems with the movie. I have some holes in the plot line that I think with the extra 7 months, they can sew up and make it...
They can fill those holes?
They can fill those holes. Same.
Hopefully they will.
I think it was a good movie. It could have been great with just a few little tweaks.
Yeah.
Maybe another 7 months will do that.
Yeah. And just this weekend, Ride Along 2 beat Star Wars, The Force Awakens, to win the weekend.
Boom! There Kevin you Hart, you can't stop Kevin Hart.
Yes, you can. Very easily.
Driving up to Montreal, we were listening to Howard Stern, and he was interviewing Kevin Hart. And I tell you what, it was a great interview. And I didn't realize he was asking Kevin Hart, like, you know, so what do you... what would you do if you had a really stinker of a movie come out? Because the Ride Along 2 is coming out. And he's like, I don't think about it at this point. He's like, I've gotten so lucky. None of his movies have really bombed. Like, even if it was like a what we consider maybe not that great of a movie,
mm-hmm.
they're all grossing like $100 million each. The dude is like on fire. It's crazy.
Everything he touches, yeah.
It's just crazy. But he seemed like a really, if you ever look up, if you want to listen to that interview, just look it up because it's Howard Stern with Kevin Hart, and it was a really good interview. You learn a lot about Kevin Hart, and he's actually a really nice guy.
He's a hardworking dude too.
Yeah,
he's doing a lot of stuff. Busy
started out selling shoes.
Did he really?
Selling shoes, and he was a funny dude. Went to improv, didn't do that well, and still kept with it. And his attitude was, if I'm gonna do something, I'm gonna do it 100%. But I guess his father wasn't around. And, you know, they were asking him, like, you know, so you reconcile with your father and you didn't seem to have a problem with that. He's like, yeah, I don't care. He's like, he still owes my father. So he's like, he bought him a house.
Yeah.
He's like.
Well, that was that one stand-up special that he had kind of went into that.
Yeah.
The Laugh at My Pain, I think it was.
Yeah.
Went back to Philly and he showed,
and
like, his where he grew up. And, yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't hold a grudge. He's like, yeah. He said, yeah. You know, people have screwed him over in Hollywood or whatever. He's like, he kind of looks the other way, turns the other cheek. And I'm like, you know, everybody should do that.
Yeah,
be a much better place.
That was the stand-up where he talked about how his dad wouldn't wear underwear and would go to like the go to like their back to school night in like sweatpants with no drawers on.
Oh. Flapping around.
Flapping around.
Flippity, flappity.
You're gonna learn today.
That's right. That's funny. Yeah, he's a funny dude.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I don't know if you've seen it, the Get Hard with him and Will Ferrell.
I know what you're talking about, but
it looks like a very stupid movie, but it's funny as hell.
Was it really?
It was really funny. I watched it. I bunkered in. I watched like, I don't know, five movies one day just because I didn't feel like leaving the apartment. I go in spurts. Like I stay in the apartment for like 2 days, and then I'm never in the apartment for like 20. So it's kind of I save it up. Yeah, and then I binge watch everything.
All right, next up.
All right, so living off the grid, we got
nice
tiny private paradise of an island. Eases you into off-the-grid living. Now, a lot of people talk about off-the-grid. There is a house off of the coast of Marathon, Florida, that it's a 2,300-square-foot house. So it's not like a ginormous house. You know, 3,000-square-foot I think it's a nice, big, robust house for like a big family. I think my apartment's like under 1,000, maybe 1,000.
Definitely under 1,000.
It's like 900 square foot. So 2,300 feet, I mean, that's a decent sized house. But if you look at the picture on the article, it's awesome. It's got a helipad. It's like a getaway house. And supposedly it has like wind power, solar power. It has a generator. So it's completely off the grid, like self-sufficient.
It's got the dock, yeah. It's really cool looking. I mean, the house itself is probably, what, like a third of the whole island?
Yeah. And that's how small the island is. So it's like, it's wild. I guess it's man-made, but they said, I guess it was on the market for $8.5 million. Now it's on the market asking for $11 million, but you could rent it for $1,000 a night.
$1,000 a night.
Ski bum, summer getaway. That's what I'm saying. Boom. Boom.
That might actually be kind of nice.
Yeah.
I've never been to the Keys.
$1,000 a night for 2,300 square foot. You probably got three, maybe four bedrooms in there.
Yeah.
At least three.
Yeah.
Right?
Couple couples, yeah.
Couple couples, $1,000 a night. Do like,
can make that work.
Even five nights, you know, $5,000. That's drop that with a few people. That's not bad.
Yeah, you can make that work. That'd be kind of nice.
Got to hire a chef and a butler because I'm not cooking.
Yeah,
just saying.
Do that. I'm gonna be eating key lime pie every day anyway.
Key lime pie,
breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You're in the Keys. You got to have key lime pie, right?
Just bring it in frozen, right? Just frozen key lime.
Right from Costco.
Right from Costco.
Costco's frozen key lime pies.
You go like, I'm eating these delicious key lime pies. I like fucking Marie Kondo or something like that.
Oh, we're gonna hostess. Hostess. Terrible.
Oh, just, that's awesome.
Is that me? Why are you doing this?
Uh-oh. Who's sneaking up on it?
I don't know.
That sounds like sneaking up on me.
It's like Scooby-Doo or something.
That's right.
So our last story of the week. So this is a story that's painful to anyone with a brain. One in 10 colleges...
It should
college
be painful to a lot of people.
Yeah, one in 10 college graduates believes Judge Judy sits on the Supreme Court. So the subtext is...
She's
survey,
on TV, right?
Survey finds recent grads alarming ignorant of America's history and heritage. So a lot of people think that Judge Judy is on the Supreme Court. And this study that what's on Yahoo, I'm trying to see who put this out.
Well, that's like if you go to college, you're really a professor, right? You come out as a professor.
Of course, yeah.
Hey, look, Il Professore, come on, tell us something good.
Yeah, it's a report from the American Council of Trustees and Alumni conducted a poll of 1,000 adults late last summer. And the survey found that 9.6% of college graduates identified Judy as a Supreme Court justice. So I guess doing that math, that would be 96 out of 1,000.
Oh, man. So
that's a little bit too high for me to be comfortable with.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Yeah, 96 out of 1,000. That's correct, that math.
Yeah.
Yeah, because 10% would be 100, so yeah.
Here's the other, like, so they have some other stats in here. 60% of grads polled incorrectly identified Thomas Jefferson as the father of the Constitution.
Wait a minute. Incorrectly identified, oh.
Well, 28.
All right, you know what? I would have screwed that up then. I'll be totally guilty of that.
28% correctly identified James Madison.
Yeah, I would have gotten that wrong.
See, you're one of the 60%.
I'm comfortable being part of that 60%.
Okay, so asked to identify the president of the Senate, a majority of college graduates correctly identified, 54% identified the vice president, Joe Biden, but 32% chose the House Speaker, John Boehner.
Boehner. I would have probably screwed that up too.
I call him Boehner.
I know you do. I would have screwed that up too.
There's a lot of like these stats I think are funny, like when you poll, because they are kind of tricky. You're like, I don't.
So
know.
At least those are like, that one is understandable. You know, I think both of those, the James Madison, Thomas Jefferson, John Boehner, Joe Biden ones, are ones that
they're a little
the
tricky.
Average person, you could definitely see them screwing that up. You
right.
shouldn't, and I'd be guilty of screwing both of those up. But the Judge Judy on the Supreme Court,
that's pretty messed up.
That's just. You're just a dipshit.
That's like I saw one.
You should have your degree just removed, taken away.
I saw one a while ago where they were going up. It was one of these stupid reality shows where they were like going up asking people like, would you support like, you know, ending women's suffrage? And people don't realize it's the right for women to vote, not to...
Is that like Borat or something?
yeah, probably. And like people are like, oh yeah, I'd support it. I don't think women should suffer. It's like, no, that's not what it means. But yeah. Like stuff like that or, you know.
Yeah. You know what the problem is? There's just so much stuff happening every single moment, every single day, in every circle of life. You know, like you just go on a stupid Yahoo and there's like... You can't even read an article because there's 15,000 recommended games on the left side and sponsored ads, and there's 15 other articles. And
you get the pop-ups.
And they're all this clickbait shit. You're never going to believe what Jessica Simpson did today. You know, it's like, it's so hard to just focus on anything anymore and know anything, because it's just, there's just new stupid things that just get in your way of remembering important stuff every single day.
Well, the worst is if you ever want to get the weather, you go to Weather Channel.
No, you don't get it there.
It's the worst.
Yeah, it's the worst place to get your weather from.
You'll get the weather after about 2 minutes of watching commercials and pop-up ads. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's bad.
And then the clickbait all around. The clickbait always gets you, though. They have some interesting clickbait. Mm. It's like, yes, I want to see that manatee eat some grass. And then you click on it and you got to watch a Geico commercial. It's like, what the hell, man?
10 hot drunk texts and what they mean to you. You know?
Don't click on it. It's clickbait, man.
No needle fountain of youth secrets. It's like, it's all just dog shit.
Yeah. It's crazy stuff, man.
Yeah. You gotta avoid this stuff. And yeah, you know what? Some of those are, you know, I understand why they got those wrong. But the Judge Judy one, I will not accept that.
Or how about when they ask somebody, like, who the president of the United States is? They don't know. Like, they just pick somebody. It's like crazy. Like, how do you not know the president? Like... If you're of voting age, how I think it's I understand because people don't pay attention, I guess. But if you're of voting age and you don't know who the president is, or it's just I don't know.
Your vote counts just as much as everybody else's does.
Unfortunately, sometimes that's true.
I know, it's crazy, right?
But
yeah, so I guess that wraps it up for this week, huh? Got anything else?
No, I think we're good.
Nice. So we finally got some cold weather here in the Northeast. We're going to be heading up to lovely Killington again this weekend.
That's why I'm hitting the clickbait on Weather Channel. I'm trying to track this damn storm.
Yeah, there's that big storm. Is it called Winter Storm Juan or?
Jones?
Jonah?
Jonah the whale?
Jonah was a bullfrog.
I can't go. I'm going to go on to weather and it's going to
be
all.
Oh, boy. You're all clickbaited away now.
That's right.
Jonas? Jonas.
Jonas brother. That's why.
J-O-N-A-S.
It's one of the Jonas brothers. There's going to be a twin one. So there's going to be another brother that comes from the north. And we're going to get the perfect storm by Friday. That's what I'm saying.
I just want to hear Umbop.
Umbop.
That was a different band, but I still want to hear them sing Umbop.
When they join, it's going to be the Umbop
storm. I want to hear them cover it.
That's what's going to
happen. I think they would crush it. It looks like right now it's going to pretty much hit the mid-Atlantic area, so DC, Maryland, Delaware.
Like we talked about last
week. Still too early.
Everybody can, if you put up a chart, every ski house should have like a map of the U.S. so that people can do their morning weather report.
Yeah.
Because it's funny how some people get the hand motions going.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, so this storm is coming. We're getting up there ahead of time, so hopefully we're there as it's hitting so we can enjoy the pow.
Bunker down.
Yeah, it's cold. Vermont's getting cold. It's getting snowy, and ski season is finally in full effect. Everyone out west, I know you're having a kick-ass season. It's going to keep up. And
1 month from Jackson Hole.
1 month from today, we're going to be heading out to Jackson. So we're looking forward.
The most terrifying part of Jackson is all the shit on YouTube. Corbett's Kuwar.
We watched a shitload of Corbett's video footage.
We should have done that, but I'm glad we did. So I know mentally I'm prepared. If I decide to do it, I'm mentally prepared for what's there.
I wake up first thing in the morning and go, how the fuck am I going to ski that thing?
The funniest part is, so I'm talking to my buddy that was Gary that was out, and he's an instructor in Colorado.
Yeah.
He's like, dude, you gotta watch more YouTube. You gotta see all the stuff where they fail. Like all
when
we watch
die. Yeah, we watch successes there. Yeah,
we watch all the success. We're watching
people launching off of it.
TGR guys like going backwards off it. He's like, no, you gotta watch where the dudes crash and like are hurt. He's like, it's all over the YouTube. Like you gotta watch that. I was like, that's the next step.
I actually woke myself up in the middle of the night trying to practice like how I was gonna make my turns. Going into it.
It's a left and a right. That's all you got to do.
That's it.
You go in on the left. You got to make one left turn and one Right turn, one right turn, and then left. See, I would have messed it up.
It's just like Better Off Dead. It's like, go that way really, really fast. When something gets in your way, turn.
That's it.
What a coach.
So are you going to do that, or are you just going to do the right turn, or just like scoot into the right without even turning? Do one semi-left turn, and then just straight bomb
tuck
down.
It. Just tuck it.
Right down.
Make sure that ski track's going.
I'm going to do a triple tuck-tuck Hot Dog the Movie.
Yes, indeed. So, yeah, it's coming up. 1 month away. Getting excited.
Yeah, we got to watch more. Let's talk about, I don't know. We got to do a show where we just talk about how terrifying it is to watch some of the ski videos that are out there.
That's not a bad idea.
It's the YouTube. Like, you know, TGR, like, those are, like, the cool ones. You're like, oh, that looks so freaking awesome.
It's the real, raw, brutal, crashing, bones sticking out, real stuff.
My knees kind of,
double blown ACLs.
Oh, yeah, that's what my friend was saying. He's like, you look at Corbett's on YouTube. He's like, no. He's like, most of the stuff you see there, like what we saw, that what I was looking up was like all the cool, like, oh, ski this, ski that.
Yay, we did it.
These are all like the fails. He's like, oh, dude, he's like, there's so much out there.
Yeah, I can only imagine. So, yeah, so that's coming in a month. So we're going to continue to get our ski on, get prepared for it.
They're actually calling this winter storm, they're actually using the term snowpocalypse.
Snowpocalypse.
Will the snowpocalypse actually come?
So they're Snowminator actually saying 2.
They're getting ready. They're priming us to call it the snowpocalypse is here.
Snowpocalypse. I love it. Or apocalypse snow, if you will.
Apocalypse snow.
Yes.
I remember Frankenstorm was a few years ago.
Frankenstorm, yeah.
That was
Snowmageddon.
Snowmageddon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the little terms they get.
I like it. So, yeah, so it's coming up. So we're going to do our skiing this weekend, and we will be back next week. You can get all of your happy highfalutin ski bum information at skibumpodcast.com or on Twitter, twitter.com/skibumpodcast, facebook.com/skibumpodcast, instagram.com/skibumpodcast. We'll be posting this weekend of all of our beautiful pal and all of our good times. And
you might have to ride a snowmobile. A snow cap.
I may have to.
To get home.
Motor Bar Lodge.
All the way home.
All the way home.
Snow cat.
Long drive home. So, yeah. That about wraps it up. And thank you guys for listening. We appreciate it. Hit us up on iTunes. Subscribe. Rate us. And we will talk to you guys next week.
Stay high. Stay falutin.
Bye-bye.